Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week it's Geeks On Geek Mailbag. For more information and news we talk about on the show, go to our website at www.geeksone.com. Hey, welcome everybody.
Hello,
welcome
my geeklings.
Back to Geeks On.
And happy holidays.
Is this a good theremin impersonation or am I failing horribly?
No, that's like a kazoo.
Oh.
Theremin's.
Right. I just got to play one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I went to my voiceover Christmas party, and the guy had a modern-day theremin, a new one.
Oh,
and
weird.
It's cool as hell. And he actually taught me how to play it. I can play a scale on a theremin now. It's like...
I heard somewhere over the rainbow... Well, if you go down to the restaurant at the LAX airport, you know, the one, the circular one in the crazy...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Encounter is what it's called. There's on, I'm not sure what nights, but there's a theremin player that plays
really?
There. Yeah. Which is cool for about 15 minutes, and then when you go, strangle them.
I was going to say, that might drive me a little crazy.
Yeah. I mean, somewhere over the rainbow, nice. Then you start getting some other music and you want to kill.
This guy was playing Christmas carols. He played the Star Trek theme song. He did some Battlestar Galactica. He did a bunch of 70s stuff. It basically looks like, if you could imagine, the handlebars of sort of a crazy sci-fi motorcycle.
Okay.
Right? And on the right side, there's like a television aerial, a very straight vertical aerial. And on the left side, there's a circle.
Well, this sounds way fancy.
And as you bring your left hand close to the metal circle on the left, the volume will go up or down. The closer you get, the lower the volume is. As you bring your hand closer to the antenna on the right, the higher the pitch goes. And
right. You're
all just affecting the magnetic fields, and that's how it works. It's funky.
It's so weird.
So, Matt, what exactly does a Christmas carol sound like when done by a theremin?
I can't do it, obviously.
It sounds like the Star Trek.
I sound like a kazoo,
what
obviously.
What does Jingle Bells sound like? Jingle Bells,
you
anyone?
Can't do Jingle Bells.
No, he did.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, that would be really freaking annoying. All right, what else did you guys do on your geek week?
Ish. I finished Assassin's Creed.
Yes, you finished it. I'm now going to try.
What do you think?
I haven't popped it in yet.
Okay.
I haven't popped it in yet.
Fantastic
Assassin's Creed just showed up in my household. I haven't had the chance to try it yet.
Beautiful, beautiful game. I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, so was everybody else. 7.0, 6.5?
No, I'll give it about an 8.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
8 is fairly solid.
Well, no, the problem
being disappointed and being a bad game are two different things.
Yeah.
Like, I think IGN said it was could be one of the most disappointing games in the last 10 years. Not because it's bad. It's because
the potential was so
awesome that they're like, oh, man.
Well, that's the problem. The pieces individually are fantastic. They're just put together very commonplace. Mm-hmm. It's always A, B, C, D, E, F. A, B, C, D, E, F. A, B,
right.
C, D, E, F. Every single time.
As Matt described it to me, he said that you do the exact same process for every mission you do. There's not any twists, not any turns. Once you figure out, you know, what it is, it's
formulaic. It's like Ninja Gaiden, you know, back in the day. Oh, if I'm going to beat this villain, I'm always going to jump up in the air and throw ninja stars. You know, it's like this is how I get into the city every single time. So
Assassin's Creed 2 is going to be way better.
Assassin's Creed 2 is going to be badass. And I wish they had just done the... Never mind. The B storyline is not necessary and could have been done as a reveal and would have been fantastic. But never mind.
Playing Mass Effect. You're playing Mass Effect too, right, Don?
I put it aside this week. I've just been too busy.
I'm hoping for Mass Effect for Christmas.
Mass Effect is great. It really is great. But somebody told me it's way shorter. It's not Knights of the Old Republic. So I've heard, make sure you do all of the side missions that you want to do before plowing and keep going through the main stuff, because the main thing ends way sooner than you thought, and you can't go back and do the side missions.
Oh, okay.
So it's not Oblivion, people, which of course is an extreme case, but I heard it's not even up to the time that even KOTOR, which was about 60 hours.
Oblivion
KOTOR
wore me
was
out.
Solid. I mean...
What's that?
For those Oblivion wore me out.
I'm sort of Oblivion'd out right now.
I was like...
I'm going to go back probably
next year.
Too many
side quests. I was like, Okay.
Oblivion's a little, is an extreme case, but I heard this is a little shorter.
Well, so I just got into a case with Oblivion where I was like, do I really want to live this life as opposed to my own?
Right. World of Warcraft.
Right.
Right.
With Oblivion.
I've done crack. I don't need to do it again.
With Oblivion, you know, at a certain point, I just had to cast invisibility on my character, not fight anyone, but just run through the mission so I could see what the story was. I just wanted to see it end.
Right, yeah. Right. And then you downloaded the additional content.
Well, I want to see what the story for that is.
Oh, God. My problem is every time I stop playing for 2 months, I go back and then I question all the choices I made. Of like, well, you know, I'd kind of like to be more of a heavy armor type person.
You know, Don?
You know, clubbing stuff.
You did it all wrong. You should start over.
I'm thinking it.
How was the Halo 3 new download content?
New maps are cool.
They're good. There is one new map that seems very intriguing because it's a big, giant, empty warehouse. Mm-hmm. And they've added extra...
That's my least favorite map.
Well, here's the reason why it seems interesting is that you can build your own map within it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so I think here soon we're going to see some really interesting downloadable user-created maps.
You can move boxes within that and make them disappear and basically build your own maze within this gigantic empty room. But that is my least favorite map because it's small.
It's small?
It's relatively small. And whenever you do any match on that, it's over inside 2 minutes. I mean, everybody's, like, annihilating each other so quickly. Hmm. I guess whatever the initial level design is. There's another one. I cannot remember the name. But it's basically two radar outposts versus
each
other. Yeah, I saw
that. I heard that was small, too.
It's relatively small, but it's big enough to put vehicles on. And that's fun.
Okay.
That is fun as hell.
Yeah, I just downloaded it, but it took me – I had to restart, like, 10 gazillion times. So I haven't played it, but it's finally downloaded.
We got the Batman paper.
All right, so...
Should we bring it up?
Yes.
Am I allowed?
I'm sure we're allowed. So, delivered at my door, like 2 weeks ago or so, mm-hmm. was a package that said to us, Peter, Aaron, Matt, Don, from our friends from Gotham City. I'm like, what the hell?
We have friends in Gotham City.
So, I opened it up, we opened it up. And inside it was a stack of newspapers, Gotham City newspapers.
Yep.
And obviously...
And they were so cool.
They're very cool.
Very cool. And we still have some. We need to talk to the special people at Gotham City to see if maybe we can give some of them away. I'm not sure.
Yeah, if we can give them away, we'll figure out how to get them out to geeklings who want them.
Yeah, we'll have a contest or something because these are really cool. I'm sure they're probably actually... You could probably eBay this shit for some serious money. But anyway.
Lots of clues buried in them.
All right. So there's obviously some alternate reality game going on here. We got a newspaper. Even the ads, the fake ads in there are pretty freaking, you know, awesome.
There are a couple of leads in the fake ads.
Yes. So you guys have done more research on the paper than I have, but you guys have found links to websites.
We found a bunch of things.
Yeah.
But I just looked it up on the internet.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's right. I didn't do it myself.
You cheated. You alternate reality game cheater.
I tracked down all of the clues I could find in the paper and then dead-ended. I wasn't sure what to do after I did all that.
I went in and found how to get the Joker's attention and...
I hear there's a phone number.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a phone number. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I'm gonna make an email or a phone call. If we can, we'll put up... a special little small episode, and we'll do a little contest, and we'll try to get these papers out, if we can, as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Because I think we can probably hand a couple of them out. So, anyway, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. What else? We read your script?
I wrote a script, and these guys helped me out, read it. It's a little action-adventure-y thing. It's pretty fun.
Sci-fi. It's awesome.
More rewrites to go, so that really helped me out. So anyway, it was a good geek week.
It was a very good
geek. Oh, last night we played Rock Band. We had a Rock Band party.
Oh my God, that was so much fun.
Gobs of people. Tell me that Guitar Hero 3, as far as I'm concerned, in a party situation, is doomed.
Yeah, it's
Rock Band is so much more
Rock
fun.
Band's knocked it out of the water.
And Don can really sing some Nine Inch Nails pretty well.
That's right, and some Weezer.
Yeah, you sang a bunch of things, but Nine Inch Nails
was the one
that cracked me up.
I have no idea what I sang.
The drums are fun as hell.
I was too glassy to drink. Well, Well, you know, eggnog plus brandy, deadly company.
Hey, I sang. And if I can sing, anybody on this planet can sing. Because that...
I'm waiting to get Peter on the microphone.
I sang.
My wife
sounded
was
like
rocking
a,
it out.
Your wife rocked it out. Yeah, I sounded like a gerbil in a blender.
Yeah, your Bon Jovi gerbil?
My Bon Jovi.
Like,
Dead
or alive!
Matt sounded a little bit like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
It's just outside your range.
Cannot sing that high.
But I have to say, if anybody can get their hands on it before Christmas, and if you're with family and friends, it is a great
party game. So much fun.
It really is a blast. So, anyway. Anywho.
So, I read I Am Legend.
Oh, you read it?
I read it. I've never read it before.
It's good, huh? The book based off of the remake of Omega Man.
No. The book was original.
Book is first.
It's actually a short story.
It's a short story. I thought the Omega Man was...
Omega Man's the third incarnation.
No, the Omega Man's the second incarnation.
Of a movie. But it's the book, then the first movie, then
Omega Man.
Okay, got it. Wow.
So this is the fourth. This is the fourth with Will Smith coming out.
Yeah, with Will Smith, yeah.
I don't think anyone here has seen it yet.
Nope.
You know, it's... sort of, there's a geek movie glut right now, and I'm so far behind the eight ball on it. Beowulf has slipped by me.
Oh, I saw that.
Golden Compass has slipped by me.
I don't want to see it. It hurts bad.
Really?
Really?
Yep.
Heard it got about 40 or 50% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, that's a shame. Lisa saw I Am Legend and said she was worth a go check out, as long as your expectations are not too high.
I don't know. I feel like it's a terrorist analogy.
I don't know what the new reincarnation is.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's kind of a thin story for a movie, though. You know, I mean,
it's
not a lot happens in the book. I mean, they definitely have to, you know.
That's why
bigger.
I feel like it's a terrorist analogy, because it's like cure for cancer, you know, turns into something worse and, you know, makes zombies, which then take over America and kill New York City. Right. Which is effectively kind of what we did in Afghanistan. It's like we're going to cure
I have a letter
communism.
Just for you later on today.
Right. And effectively it turns into something worse, which then comes and.
I think that's a stretch.
You know,
I think you're reaching.
That's a stretch.
Mr. Elastic is sort of, he'd have a hard time stretching that far.
It's there if you look.
Anything
the truth
is
out there.
Anything is there if you
it's
look.
It's not
hard
my
enough.
Fault that you guys don't believe.
I just think it has the short story has the meat to be a lot of different things. I actually enjoyed the story as long as I kind of sketched over the fantasy science they kept throwing at me. But
so if you squint your eyes and you...
Yeah, I kind of edited out the parts I didn't like and enjoyed, like, you know, his relationship to the zombies that are keeping him captive and the way he kind of turns on a dime at the end about his feelings on some things. I just... It was a good story.
Hmm. Oh.
Check it out.
All right.
Let's hit some news.
All right. All right, who's starting this crazy train wreck?
All right, so go ahead.
I just have a silly little thing. The AFI Awards 2007 official selections have been announced. And something I found very interesting on the TV programs of the year, official selections, of the 10 things they've put forward, 3 of them are shows that we've discussed on ours, on Keeps
nice.
On. So of the list, Dexter, Pushing Daisies... And Mad Men.
Yeah.
All 3 of them have been shows that we've targeted as saying
Golden
these
Globe.
Are shows to watch out for.
Geekzone has the answers.
The complete list includes Dexter, Everybody Hates Chris, Friday Night Lights, congratulations, Clint, a listener of the show who works on that, Longford, The Sopranos, Tell Me You Love Me, 30 Rock, Ugly Betty, Mad Men, and Pushing Daisies.
Right on.
It's a good list, actually.
Mm-hmm. It is a good list.
It's a good list.
If anyone's interested in the movie selections, here you go. Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, Into the Wild, Juno, Knocked Up, Michael Clayton, No Country for Old Men, Ratatouille, The Savages, and There Will Be Blood.
Okay. By the way, my wife saw Juno and says best movie of the year.
I've heard raves about that. I've heard raves about There Will Be Blood.
The trailer is awesome. Will Be Blood?
I like that. There Will Be Blood, I've heard very good things about.
All right. Man, I haven't seen shit on
I am
that list.
So behind. It's
Man.
Ridiculous.
Okay.
We'll go do some movies.
Wait, Transformers isn't on that?
Kat loved Transformers.
You're kidding.
Loved
You gotta be kidding. She just likes the...
I thought she wouldn't even go.
Loved Transformers.
Wow.
No, we watched it on our home little TV. And loved it. Really?
What did she like?
She was like, that was so cool. She loved it.
She loved that that car repair scene with what's her hoo-ha.
I loved the
cat not so much into Megan Fox
that she brought.
Both of them.
Car repair scene.
Yeah.
Right. So that was just a little thing.
So there's a study, which I found recently, which is kind of a duh study, but also kind of not a duh study. It's even minimal fitness can stave off death.
Okay.
Duh. But basically, there was a study done of a few thousand Americans beginning, I believe, at age 40 and traveling all the way through death. So this is a long-ass study.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that they've targeted these older Americans now, breaking them down into five groups from the most fit to the least. Researchers documented 32 deaths per 1,000 for people over the course of a year in the least fit group. That compares to 16 deaths in the group that was just slightly more fit and 8 deaths in the most fit category.
So it cut in half both times?
Cut in half both times. And this is literally...
Stop playing video games out there,
no, but
jackasses.
What they're recommending is doing is playing the Wii. They're saying with a lot of the other groups, like
please.
The Wii is crazy response.
I'll play the Wii when the damn game comes out that's worth playing.
Right. But the interesting is...
Played Zelda yet?
No.
It's really cool.
Okay, well then maybe you have no idea what you're talking about. Do you?
30 minutes of moderate exercise 5 days per week is what's needed to achieve minimal fitness. So... 30 minutes a day. Moderate
30
exercise,
minutes a week.
Yeah. Moderate exercise entails walking at a 2 to 3 mile per hour pace, and 100 minutes a week of aerobic style exercise is equivalent.
I love these studies, though. I love these when I hear studies that have taken place like really long periods of time. I had a friend who was involved in a twins study from their birth.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that is crazy.
They've made documentaries about them. Where, like, they interview the twins at age 20 and then 40.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous stuff.
Yeah. Like, this thing where they're documenting people from 40 to their death, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Now, was this the same study that showed a stronger correlation between fitness and health than obesity and health?
Yes. That was what was fascinating about it. That was the next point, is the men and women in Blair's study may be a little more fit than older Americans in general, but among the group there were a fair number of overweight and obese participants, including individuals' body mass index above 35. There's a sizable number, nearly half, were fit and proved it on the treadmill test, so you can't tell by looking at somebody whether or not they're physically fit. So it's fascinating that even if you're, you know, as long as you're doing this, even if you're overweight, you can have it.
I heard this year also that the average human or average American, I mean, the average American's cholesterol level is now normal. It just went down.
It's the first
to
time,
normal.
First time in years.
Yeah,
because all the medicine. Have anything to do with the salt?
No, it's medicine. It's all the medicine.
Oh,
well, it's one of those things that's never made sense. Like you have problems with cholesterol, Matt. Is that correct?
Not anymore? But yeah,
you did. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, like me, never.
Yeah,
it's just one of those really strange things.
Yeah. Yes.
For those of you who don't know, Matt's the fit one. I'm, shall we say, not. We'll just be generous. Why are you laughing?
It's a laughter of...
I hate you all.
Very quiet.
All right. Who's next?
All right. Everything that goes into Frank Pringle's recycling machine, a piece of tire, a rock, a plastic cup, turns to oil and natural gas seconds later.
This is fascinating.
You love the new energy stories.
I do. He says,
this sounds too good to be true.
Sound too good to be true. He says, I've been told the oil companies might try to assassinate me. He says it without any sarcasm. All right. The machine is a microwave emitter that extracts petroleum and gas hidden inside everyday objects, or at least everything made with hydrocarbons, which is just about anything.
Anything.
Okay. basically... it will create, in about an hour, using 10 tons of waste, 17 million BTUs of energy, of which it will use 956,000 to keep itself running. That's a pretty good ratio.
Okay, so it is using less energy
than
to
make more.
More.
That's what I was wondering.
It's 1 to 17 ratio.
Yeah. So it's about 7% or something like that, somewhere in that range.
Wow.
So
that's pretty.
If it's real, I mean, the thing is that all of the ones that we've done on this show, I haven't heard follow up on any one of them.
Not one.
No.
Of them.
Yeah, it is true. But this is Popular Science, so it's a pretty decent website.
Well, we'll see.
So
it has to do with being economical and plausible. Some of these things you can actually get to happen. You know, you have to have a freaking, you know, a building the size of, you know, whatever.
Well, we did that with computers originally.
But he's selling one here soon that's the size of like a bus.
Yeah, he's selling one. He's already got one that he's making. Yeah. So, you know.
And I found it interesting, the article they even mentioned he sold one to the oil companies.
Yes. Well, he says he's going to. Basically, he says he created the machine about 10 years ago after he drove by a massive tire fire and thought about the energy being released. He went home and threw bits of a tire into a microwave emitter he'd been working on for another project.
He threw it into his microwave.
It turned into what looked like ash. But a few hours later, he returned back to his lab, which was not heated, so it was very cold, and he found a black puddle of oil underneath his machine. So it had turned into an oil gas and then had condensed back into oil. And that's how he figured out that, he might be onto something. So anyway, this is going to be interesting. We'll have to see if...
Come on, man. I'll give you $10 if you can do it.
Yeah, we'll have to see if this turns into something.
I'll invest.
That would be crazy.
What was the name of the Back to the Future machine?
Oh, yeah,
Mr. Fission or something.
Yeah, Mr. Fusion. Yeah.
Now, did I cover... I think I covered this before. That they're making solar panels for less? Did I do that last week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Never mind. Go on.
Peter, always keeping up on alternate energy. Damn hippy dippy liberal.
Let's save the environment.
Okay.
I like rabbits.
I don't know. You may have heard of this since you're in the video game industry, Don. But so last week, Jeff Gerstmann from GameSpot was fired. He was a long time.
Oh, right.
11 years, 12 years at the company.
Respected.
Respected.
Very well
video
respected.
Game reviewer and very popular with the GameSpot community because he was also on the podcast. And it was kind of a very upfront, kind of a face of GameSpot. Mm-hmm. Well, he was fired on Wednesday. And allegedly, to some people, they think it's based off of a review he did on Kane and Lynch,
He wasn't touching Laura Croft, you know,
in naughty ways.
Yeah.
No, that actually probably wouldn't get you fired at GameSpot. Actually,
get you a promotion.
So, you know, I'm not sure if that's true.
Kane and Lynch got a 7 or something like that.
Well, he gave it like a 6. Right. Now, but he did a video review and he wrote a review. And he uses terms like it's an ugly game with ugly people, with an ugly plot, with an ugly – and just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, they tear apart games
now,
all the time.
Here's the thing is Kane and Lynch was one of their biggest advertisers that month. So this is what – what happened was he gets fired without any reason.
Right.
The review gets pulled for some reason that nobody seems to know why. And the – internet community catches on and figures out or thinks that. So now I don't know if this is true.
I'm going to quote my friend Aaron Hendricks and go, "That's bull crap.
That's some serious bullshit." Now
you don't think it happened, or you think that
if it did happen,
now here's the thing. CNET is the one I think of the ones that own the company, and I think they're the ones that did the firing. I have a feeling that it probably wasn't just the review. I'm sure there's some other stuff. But what this brings up is...
inappropriate touching.
I'm curious what you guys think about this. There's all sorts of video game review sites. IGN, GameSpot, game trailers, all this stuff.
Yep.
They all have advertising, all of them. And they're all video game advertisers. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you guys feel about... I go to IGN for my... I look up video game reviews on IGN, but they kind of seem to sync with me more. I think you're a GameSpot dude, right,
GameSpot,
Matt?
Subscriber.
So what do you guys feel about this?
If they are a nonpartisan magazine, they have to maintain their neutral status.
So you think that they... that so
in any
now
way,
games,
favoring a game...
how do you know? If there's,
I
if you
think
go to
they're a mass media outlet. You know, they are... that is their job. And so they're going to be advertising the product that people that are interested in go to them for.
Right.
So to expect any kind of impartiality from them, I think is being naive.
I tend to have, you know, sense impartiality from GameSpot, stuff like that. Or, you know, from what I've read, they tend to trend where I trend.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the Spike Video Game Awards. Mm-hmm. And that one was just one big advertisement the whole way.
But wait a minute. Yeah. Here's the thing about that awards is that those were nominated and voted upon by video game reviewers.
From GameSpot. And
from all those people.
All
and I hear a lot of people complain about that. I didn't watch the awards because But a lot of people, complained about them, saying this is all bullshit. Look at the list. Well, the list was created by the damn video game reviewers.
I don't think it was entirely. I could be completely wrong, but I think I was one of the voters for that.
But it's a video game community that's voting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, the best of list was entirely Xbox games.
Oh, right.
And that pissed some people off. Well, who did
it? When I worked at a larger video game company that will remain unnamed, mm-hmm. When the video game award season rolled around, you bet your ass there were mass emails going out to everybody saying, sure. You will vote for this game.
That's how the Academy Awards end. And, well, okay. So,
there's influence being thrown behind everything.
So what do you feel about reviews of video games?
Impartial.
I believe that it's naive to expect them to be impartial. That's why I tend to rely more either on GameRankings.com, which does a composite rating across all websites, or user rankings, user ratings. Though I think user ratings are often too generous.
Well, here's the thing, though. Number one, Game Rankings only works if people have some form of impartiality, because that filters out the noise or the gaming of the system caused by people who are paying for reviews. So that wouldn't work at all. You're not understanding what I'm saying. I can tell by how you're saying it.
No. Okay. GameRankings.com is a website that
it's like Rotten Tomatoes, right?
Yeah, but if everybody reviews
lists all the reviewers' rankings of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just like Rotten Tomatoes.
It's like Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. I thought Rotten Tomatoes. Okay, it was users.
No.
Rotten Tomatoes is all by reviews.
Okay. So, which only works if you have sources that are not being gamed, that aren't being paid for reviews, for good reviews.
But what I'm saying is if you cast a broader net, you have a better chance of avoiding
and getting general consensus.
I agree with you. But, I mean, look, I'm not, I think it's terrible when you have something like, and, sorry, don't mean to go political on people, but like Fox News that pretends to be impartial.
We're so getting another mail from this.
I don't have a problem.
But that's not advertising dollars per se.
No. That's but
Rupert Murdoch.
But it is also advertising dollars because they're aiming for certain advertisers.
Well, think of it this way: audience. Every time you watch television, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But the point I was going to make is I don't have a problem with partial news. I think that's fine. But let's just say we're
keep your eyes open.
Let's just say that
But you have a site that says, "Come to our site and read our reviews."
Yes.
So you can't say, "Come to our site and read our reviews." The chances are they're going to be bloated because Kane and Lynch paid for this. So, why go there?
Yeah, I know.
And I know that, for example,
but
there are...
But it's a dirty way of doing
but
things.
But why not put full disclosure? Why not say,
Oh, there's full disclosure.
There's full disclosure on the website. The damn, you see seven ads next to it for Kane and Lynch.
There's nothing sneaky about it. Now, what they could say is, we're not going to review the game. Any specific game we advertise, we're just not going to review it.
Most people who are putting out a game would not want to advertise on them for fear of not getting a positive review.
Right.
Now, I also know that there are a lot of these magazines and video game sites, they have, quote, exclusive reviews. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that get to come out first. So they're given the game beforehand. But I've also heard that the review is sent to the manufacturer first, and then they tell them when they can air it. Or when they can post it.
I was thinking we need to put up something on our forums that's us reviewing things, because we're not taking any money from anybody, and we're, we pick on it.
We also usually get around to reviewing things about, 3 months after it's been released?
Yeah, so what?
Just saying. but one thing to keep in mind, too, with this advertising phenomenon, when you're watching television, right, have you ever seen an advertisement for something you can't imagine why they'd be advertising? Cisco Systems, helping the world reach out and touch itself, right? Meanwhile, it's not actually advertising anything. It's just a company, and you're not really sure what it does.
Right.
The reason why it's there is to give weight to a company to sway that network in its reporting practices, usually. I have purchased three $7 million spots on your network. If you say something negative about me, we will no longer buy those spots.
It's actually more than that. I mean, also
it's also an image spot.
I'm boiling it down to make it clear.
Wasn't it Lucent that used to do that a lot? We make the ideas that make things work or something like that.
So many of them do.
There was a company, I think it was Lucent, that they started advertising really hardcore. Their stock price surged, because they were doing an offering, so they were able to bring in a lot of money. you know, even though they weren't.
That's really coincidence. It. Nobody advertises on primetime television to raise their stock. That's
I would disagree.
Absolutely
with that.
Insane.
Well, anyway, that's a different subject. Different yeah. subject. So anyway, keep your eyes peeled. You know, they've got to make their money. They're doing it through advertising.
Just be aware.
Just yeah. be aware when you buy Ken and Lynch.
Donnie?
Well, okay. We've already discussed weight and body issues today. And U.S. Surgeon General mm-hmm. has toned in on this and has said that Santa Claus is a bad role model for children because he's fat.
That's
and
Coca-Cola's
said Santa
fault.
Claus needs to lose weight.
That's Coca-Cola's fault. They're the one that has given us the modern day image of Santa.
Yeah.
So. Actually, I'll have you know, I saw the movie The Santa Claus, and although he was overweight, he exercised a lot in that movie. So I'll have you know, he looked pretty
and
healthy.
He's
got to
squeeze down a lot of chimneys.
Also, you got to.
That's
gotta
a guilty
understand.
Pleasure movie for me. The first Santa Claus, not got, any of the follow ups.
You've got to
one.
Understand. He's up there in the North Pole. It's cold up there.
It's cold.
Boy needs some, you know, he needs some protection.
In the story, "Twas the Night Before Christmas," however, he's a jolly old elf.
So elves can't be fat?
He's a jolly old elf.
Elves
well, he's
have
old,
you
he's
seen
also
the Keebler
old.
Elves?
Should we, you know, should we say that this is ageism as well? You know?
Well, they didn't say he has to lose years.
Wait, now who said that? Who ragged on Santa?
The U.S. Surgeon General. The okay. acting U.S. Surgeon General.
Okay.
Let me also point out, Santa Claus has been around a lot longer
than the
U.S.
Surgeon
General. And he must be doing something right. If I could live as long as he's lived... Hey, I'm just saying, I would be
funny,
quite content.
Well, what's the Norwegian? There's a Norwegian Santa mm-hmm. who's actually not dragged around by reindeer. He's dragged around by 9 skinny black men.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
You're
yeah.
like, really
he's
horrible.
Regret.
Yeah, it's like 9 black men drag him around. And
yeah, they've
and
sure like, edited that story.
Yeah, yeah. exactly. Like, let's Santa's
come
got
up
a few
anymore.
More problems than just, you know, a weight issue.
Well, as funny as the story is, I think what's very interesting to me is what that says about American culture now. You can't be a good role model if you're fat. You can be a living saint. You right. can give up your entire life and spend all year round preparing to make children happy.
Those little brats.
And that's still not good enough. Not
okay,
good
this
enough.
Is
you
what
cannot
I'm a little,
be a role model if you're fat.
This is what I'm seemed about. If that Surgeon General spent more than fucking 3 hours wasting my tax dollars on this bullshit, that's what's a tragedy. I mean, can you believe that our tax dollars is getting wasted on this shit? I mean, come on!
All right, move on before I bust
great, our Christmas show now has an explicit rating. Thank you, Aaron.
Frack.
What year? What year did Congress switch over from Republican to Democrat?
This year, 2007.
2007 was the full was the full switch over.
In January is when they stepped in.
Okay, I just I found this very interesting thing on Boing Boing that shows the federal shredding budget, and how since 2000 it has steadily increased and increased and increased. In 2000, the government spent a little over $450,000 to dispose of pesky documents. By 2006, the cost of keeping secrets had risen to $2.9 million, and in 2007, $2.7 million and rising. So here's the crazy. This is what our shredding budget has done. If you check out the crazy graph, which looks like geometrical,
but it dipped in 2007.
Well, that's at midpoint in the year.
Oh, midpoint during the year. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, you know all the Republicans in Congress right now are just like, oh, my God, cover your ass.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Just on a side note, it's not a story, but did you guys hear that they – who are the people – Greenpeace adopted a whale, and they wanted to name the whale, and they had, you know, all these names like Poseidon and, you know, Greek gods and gods of the deep. And someone managed to get Mr. Splashy Pants on the list. And then what happened was it got onto Reddit that Mr. Splashy Pants was one of the names that they were having. So
it was an internet
it became
campaign.
An internet phenomenon.
And Fark.com was another one that was right. watching for that.
So Greenpeace has now adopted the whale, Mr. Splashy
Pants. No, did they? Because my understanding, what they were planning on doing was extending the contest.
Nope, they
in
did.
In the desperate hope that they would get Mr. Splashy Pants knocked off.
They did,
off.
And they came close, but then another wave went back around. It said, another help wave. Save Mr. Splashy Pants.
That's awesome.
And so Mr. Splashy Pants was saved.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Yes. That's good.
All right.
Poseidon. Lame.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lame.
A little creativity.
Who wants to go out and save Poseidon?
Yeah.
I don't want, but Mr. Splashy Pants? They're trying to kill Mr. Splashy Pants!
I know, really.
You guys are morons.
My actual news story, though, is they recently did a study. Now, we've all heard that, you know, the human genome hasn't changed that much in the last, you know, 10,000 years. That we're pretty much the same dudes we were, like, way back.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, they did a new study, and they basically said, bullshit. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So what they basically did is they analyzed DNA of like 270 people from different populations worldwide, and they looked at the genetic difference between people.
Hmm.
And basically they said beneficial genetic changes have appeared at a rate roughly 100 times higher in the past 5,000 years than any previous period of human evolution. They determined that about 7% of human genes are undergoing rapid, relatively recent evolution.
It's aliens.
Well, basically, actually what it is it's that we have a higher population. I mean, we have a much higher population that is spread out, and it's affected by disease because we develop – a lot of this is we develop abilities to digest food that's different, mm-hmm. and we develop abilities to fight off genes. I mean, if you think
so
about
diversity.
It, let's take a really good example, which is basically you look at something like you know, us coming over to the U.S. and disease just racing across and killing off Native
Influenza.
Americans.
Influenza.
Well, you know, I mean, now Native Americans that are alive, their population is resistant to all of those diseases. So that's a form of evolution that's going on, you know, in terms mm-hmm. of, you know. So anyway, they said many recent changes reflect differences in human diet brought on by agriculture, as well as resistance to disease and blah, 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 blah. For example, Africans have new diseases providing resistance to malaria. In Europeans, there is a gene that makes them better able to digest milk as mm-hmm. adults. And in
Not
Asians,
China.
In Asians, there is a gene that makes their earwax more dry.
Yes, that was one of our first
Sorry about that.
Yes. So,
you can't
–
man, the Europeans got digesting milk.
We got the
milk.
Of the stick
yeah.
on this.
Yeah, they man. Got digesting milk and you got crusty earwax.
Yeah.
I like milk.
Yeah,
yeah. Seriously, ice cream.
Mm. Hate you. Crusty earwax.
Whatever. Mm. Y'all. There's actually a woman who just did a study on hyperpowers. Hyperpowers are basically like the United States is currently, or Rome back in the day, where mm-hmm. you completely obliterated everything in your way, and your
like
military locus. Might is so much. But the one unifying factor for all of those powers that she found was genetic diversity within the populations. Was that Rome?
I believe it.
Genghis Khan, you know, all of them. Anybody who's reached the hyperpower status. And she basically said, we didn't even reach hyperpower status during the Cold War because we had Russia to combat against.
Mm-hmm.
But genetic diversity is really what brings that hyperpower to the
top. I would probably, I mean, I have no proof, obviously. I would argue that cultural diversity.
Yeah, well, both. Know. That's what she was saying. Cultural diversity and
yeah.
nothing. And,
I mean, when you have two different cultural groups, you know, one that takes pride in some kind of, let's say, blue-collar craftsmanship,
mm-hmm.
and the other in white-collar management, you know, they can work together
yep.
culturally.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
All right. I'm bringing it down to less lofty topics.
All right,
Wired Magazine had a list of board games that you should maybe consider buying this year for Christmas.
That's interesting.
And it said something like, you know, Beyond Monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the tin they have here, and I want you guys to comment on what you think of the list.
Okay.
Okay.
So this is Wired Magazine. first one, Hey, That's My Fish.
Good.
Okay.
That was a great game.
Second one, Raw. Which I have not
Didn't
played,
play
but it's considered to be a
very... It's very simple. I liked it.
Is that the one where we're building a pyramid?
No.
That was fun.
Wits and Wagers, the party game that we played where you bet
That's fun.
On... we've played that before, Don.
It's fun.
Robo Rally, old school game.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fun game.
Never played it.
Fiji, Rio Grande game, which I have not played, a 2-5 player game.
Hmm.
Settlers of Catan.
Yeah, that's a good game.
Oldie but goodie, of course.
And if you don't have it, you can download it on Xbox 360.
Right.
And it is a really fun, really great game.
Yeah. Colorado, which is a new game that won the Spiel des Jahres Award
Not
this
Colorado.
Year.
Colorado?
Colorado. Nope, it's... okay. Actually, it did not win the game just like it won that's made by the same person. Sorry. Go... I think that's a little weak because it's about
weak.
10 billion years old. But I think a lot of people have not played it. And the other one, Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Which is one of my favorite games.
It is.
Board games.
A fantastic
game. I think Wired Magazine did a pretty good job.
Yep.
Oh, and they have to put Battlelore on there, which I can't... Oh, Battlelore.
Yeah.
Which is a new two-player game by Days of Wonder.
I think they were smart in the fact they picked up games that are very easy to learn and hard to master. You know?
Yes. Yes. I think they did a good job of... Especially, you know, if you're going to give it to any of these games to people who are not necessarily gamers right out. Maybe right. Puerto Rico might be pushing it.
Well, it's funny to me how many people I've met over the past year or so who identify themselves as being board game lovers, but, you know, they're not geeks, so board game to them means, like, life.
Right, right.
You know, and they think they're being daring by saying that.
I went to a Toys R Us and just went, sauntered over to the board game section, and it's utter crap.
Yeah.
The board games at these stores are utter shit.
Well, their board games target, you know, the family set.
But these are like things like with all these little pieces that break and like, you know, with goop in them and things that get, well, I mean, just
look at Sorry. Like, I always thought Sorry was kind of a dangerous game to give to, like, you know, 3-year-olds or 4-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know? Those little tiny pieces are going to swallow them.
True.
Well, whatever. I think that maybe this is a sign that maybe some gamer games
another
are coming
good example in. Is I just read on our forums recently. Aaron, you might know the name of this game. It's a game with lasers. You have to set up a mirror.
Cat.
Yeah. You have to set up mirrors on the board to reflect mirrors around to try and reach your target.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, well-put game. But I was reading on our forums that there is a version sold at Target that is actually the same box but has different contents. Rather than having small mirrors inside, I read that they have a small cardboard metallic silver coating.
Oh, right.
To try
like
and
foil,
reflect the mirrors.
Like foil.
Yeah, rather
crap,
than
foil.
Something actually shiny and reflective, which they were saying was
I think they're getting sued. That company's getting sued by the manufacturers of Ket.
Dumb.
Really?
Yeah.
No, dumb.
Right.
Not dumb.
That's mine.
Cool.
My news stories.
Got anything else, son?
That's it.
I got one last thing. Just a list of Christmas presents possible as we are coming up on Christmas. Possibly for the geek in your life, if you would like to give them a nice little gift. Nintendo DS still is awesome. Mass Effect, Blade Runner Special Edition coming out.
5-disc on HD and Blu-ray and...
Yeah, everything.
Regular.
24, Battlestar, Lost Season 3, all very good.
HD as well?
Yes. Lego has now come out with a Lego Star Destroyer. The Lego Starship Enterprise and the Lego now awesomeness, the Lego Death Star, and it's
how freaking big is that?
It's humongous and it's $500.
Woo!
Great camera, Canon PowerShot A630 8-megapixel digital camera with 4x optical zoom. Great, Night Owl Explorer Pro Night Vision Scope.
For your,
creepy geek who wants to, you know,
Kalis.
If you have a geek out there who has the unmarked white van, you might want to get them the night vision goggles.
Yeah, that's pretty good. LaCie external 500 GB external hard drive. Really cool.
Yep, I have. Although those are little spin. Well, no, they're coming down in price.
Yeah,
I have a couple.
They're actually coming down quite a bit. I saw a bunch of deals for them. Voltaic solar panel backpack.
I have that.
It's really fun. Do you own everything that's on
there? I got it for for a Christmas present.
Star Wars Astromech Droids Complete Set. It's really cool. Battlestar Galactica, the complete epic series. This is the original, not the...
Oh.
Innovo X5 LED flashlight, which is made out of titanium, waterproof. It's like exactly what Peter would want in a flashlight, which would mean it would... Like
withstand
anything.
And probably do your taxes.
Yes. Airwolf Season 1. A few books. Mind Performance Hacks, Tips and Tools for Overclocking Your Brain.
Oh, yes.
Awesome. The Golden Ratio, The Story of PHI, The World's Most Astonishing Number.
You know, those little mini helicopters, remote control helicopters are really in right now, too.
You know, I got to tell you, I was given one of those last year.
Uh-huh.
Broke inside of 2 minutes.
Well, you can't drive that shit.
You know,
get my hands on it.
If you bump into any one thing and it breaks, there's something wrong.
Those things are dangerous. Like my father received a remote control airplane when I was a kid. I thought it was a 4-foot wingspan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it was a real flyer. It was awesome. But they put in very small letters that you should use diesel gasoline. And in its maiden flight, it literally melted and split in half in midair.
Oh.
It was really sad.
So, Storyfy, codebook, circuit board luggage tags, and the periodic table of elements poster.
Okay, I think we should get
for
Aaron.
I have one silly thing to plug in there. I just remember the outlet squid was such a hit last year.
Yep.
There is a USB squid available now.
That's actually from the mailbag. That was going to be my first mailbag thing. USB port squid, the exercise machine to run your PS.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
The holy hand grenade rear view mirror dice danglers.
Yeah.
And an electronic bubble wrap keychain, so you can pop bubble wrap whenever you want to.
Eris got us a t-shirt that says, you had me at Halo.
I really like the shirt.
That's a good one.
I think we should get the original Battlestar for Aaron and then make him suffer through it again.
I've got the first episode here, and I've seen a couple.
Now that you're maybe
you're
hold
convert.
Up to...
All right. Should we get to our main topic?
Let's move to the mailbag.
Mail's in.
I sensed there was mail.
What's this? A letter for me.
DeVale! DeVale is here!
Ooh!
I always thought mailbag had such unpleasant connotations.
It's only if it's spelled that way.
Oh, okay.
M-A...
All right, who's starting?
I will. So somebody wanted to give us a bunch of topics that we could read, and for some reason I cut off their name on the email, so I'll find it and post it. They wanted to know us... The topic they wanted to give us was to why it was so awesome and what is missing from today's sci-fi that makes most sci-fi films of the 80s unforgettable. I'm going to completely redo this email. Yes. What it is that makes...
guest reading on Geeks On Today, the Swedish Chef.
What is missing from today's sci-fi that makes most sci-fi films forgettable, but the sci-fi of the 80s immortal? The topic comes to mind as a result of playing Mass Effect, which seems to have an homage to 80s awesome sci-fi right down to its Blade Runner-esque soundtrack. Definitely would like to know what you guys think. Subtopic, 80s television sci-fi.
Now, we did do an 80s... Did we do 80s? Or we just did old sci-fi?
We just did old sci-fi.
Okay. I think maybe that might be a stretch that somehow the 80s had some type of sweet spot in the sci-fi genre. I think maybe we remember it and hold it dear to our hearts because we grew
six.
Up in that and it became integrated in our lives. So,
however,
I don't know.
Close Encounters. I mean, sci-fi.
There's some great.
I personally believe it was the fact that their special effects hadn't come so far yet.
And
so
we got wowed day after day after day.
So either we were so impressed by what special effects they did have,
mm-hmm.
or they worked twice as hard to write around the special effects they couldn't do. You know, so there was sort of more you filling in the blanks of
I'll
what
see
they
that.
Weren't
Back
showing.
To the Future. You know, even Star Trek, if
they
you
were more,
I mean, not 60s, but
yeah, they
know.
Were more talky. They were more conceptual.
But those don't make them classics.
Being conceptual does. Most of the modern sci-fi movies that you see, they're not really showing a potential something. Like, what's the one that blew us out of our socks last year? Children of Men.
Right?
Which was conceptual, talky, low special effects.
Yeah.
You know?
I would say those become more classics than special effect movies from the 80s.
I would say we have more special effects net movies now than they did in the 80s.
If you can combine writing and you can really find a way to work around what special effects you do have, it tends to make for more of a classic thing because you're, like, for instance, Star Trek, they originally were going to have everybody shuttlecrafted down to the planet and then couldn't afford the budget for it. So they went, teleport them in. And that became, you know, something that's
a classic. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't think it was the 80s has... I think there was some just awesome 70s sci-fi, and there's going to be awesome 90s sci-fi, and I think there's awesome...
Well, there are gems in every decade.
Yeah.
Well, also, the first two you mentioned, Close Encounters and E.T., I mean, you know, that was Steven Spielberg. When he was still doing things that were very accessible... on a kid's level and not trying to do things that were a little more intellectual and a little more, you know.
Coming out, but he was also coming out of his
Close Encounters, by the way, was 70s, right?
Was it
76, yes. right, or something like
was
that?
Was it 76?
Or 78? I thought it was
80. I want to say 78.
Okay.
No. Oh.
Well, I mean, E.T. was like 83 or something mm-hmm. like that?
I don't know.
Aaron, you're impressing me. I have no idea.
I thought E.T. was 84 and Close Encounters.
Close Encounters is like the quintessential 70s sci-fi to me. Like it's the word, not no not the quintessential, the pinnacle.
Oh, okay.
I'd say Alien.
Alien to me is like,
ooh, Alien was 70s, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good point.
I think Alien
Blade
takes
Runner.
The higher slot for
Blade Runner is 82.
That's what I'm saying.
82.
80s, man. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying the 80s didn't have them. I'm just saying I don't think the 80s has some special. I don't think that decade was any special. So anyway.
All right, so Peter's gonna hit it. Here's the next one. Hello from the cold wastes of Canada. All right. I was listening to a chat about sports performance, cybernetics, and even though we might be getting better, there are studies that tend to show the following. There are less and less records being broken in sports that rely less on cutting-edge technology because we are getting closer and closer to the envelope of human performance. Just a tidbit. I think you guys are funny as hell. By the way, it might be fun if your links to email the geek directly would work. There's a reason that we
stopped doing that,
and that's because they have web crawlers that basically go out looking for your emails.
And they spam the hell out of you.
So we have it as a visual thing only because
we're getting whooped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So on that same topic, have you ever seen like video clips from like the 1920s Olympics, like the ice skating events? Compare them to today's ice skating events. It's like, women in parkas and mufflers, like doing these broad figure eights very slowly. Mm-hmm. I love watching the comparison. I find it very interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, or Eastern European women lifting weights in the 1980s with beards.
What do you guys got? Some problem with the 80s?
I do.
This is a letter from Andrew Bergen. This is for all of you guys. Thanks for having an awesome, enjoyable, funny, informative show for me to listen to at work on my iPod Nano. It really makes my work more fun to be at, even though I work in a small mail-order porn comic warehouse in the receiving department where I get to inspect nude women on pages all day. My heart bleeds, Andrew. Bleeds, I tells ya. Anyway, just wanted to let you guys know that you guys are more important than boobies.
Aww.
That is our new catchphrase.
Geeks on.
Geeks on. More important than boobies.
I don't know about that. I like boobies, too.
Read your letter, Aaron.
Okay. Hiya, geeks. I have heard in a few shows you guys all raving about Wilderness of Mirrors. I found a forums that John Wick posted on and found info on and emailed him. Alas, I have not heard any response from him. I'm very excited about being able to get a copy of his game. I was wondering if the information was correct, or maybe I was doing something wrong. Any advice would be appreciated. Thanks, Drew. 12th level paladin from Fremont, California. Okay. So, actually, I did just a little bit of research on this. For one thing, I know that he's moved. I've emailed him and he contacted me back. He's moved out of Los Angeles.
Okay.
And that was a couple months ago. And he was actually very ill also. So, on the website, it says that all of his games are out of print and they're restocking. So that if you want any of his games, you just can't buy them right now. Which is a real drag because there's a couple of really good ones that I know of, and I'm sure the rest are there.
Cat.
Right, Cat being one of them. So I will email him again and try to stir him up and see if he can tell us how to buy or what he plans on doing here in the future. And if he actually comes back to LA for any reason, I want to have him on the show because I think he's pretty smart about game design.
Yeah.
Send him some get well soon letters or something.
I think he's better now and everything's okay. But okay. I think he was just ill for a while. So
all right. Next, hello geeks. I'm writing just to let you know that I love the show and to share an anecdote. While listening to the last show, as soon as I heard the muffled indie ringtone, which is mine, Matt, Indiana Jones ringtone.
Wow.
I got up and ran like hell to the living room thinking it was my cell phone that was ringing because I have the same ringtone. So I'm not good at moving my hefty carcass around. While running, I hit the little toe of my right foot on the door frame, which obviously made me scream from the pain, which made me hobble on one foot, then lose my balance, which in turn turn made me fall to the side, hitting some bookshelves filled with CDs, which in their turn fell on me. Then followed a litany of French curse words, which I'll share with you, hoping to enlighten you on the marvel of Quebecois curse words. Voici de Christ de Tabernacle de Calice de Ciboire de Vierge, which translates to something like Host Christ, Tabernacle Chalice, Ciborium, Holy Virgin.
That's you could a swear word?
Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Yeah, yeah. You could tell from the choice of these words that we have a love-hate relationship with our waning Catholic heritage. After a while, I finally got to my phone and realized it never rang. I thought I was one step closer to Arkham Asylum until I rewinded the podcast and listened again. So what's the lesson? Cool ringtones are dangerous to one's health. Keep up the excellent work. I wish I could find the impetus to produce a similar podcast in French with my geeky friends, but I don't think I'm the one to do it. Benoit Métot, Montreal, Canada.
Nice. Sand check.
We have French-speaking listeners.
Yes, we do. Peter.
No.
Oh, sure. Aaron.
Okay. Hi, guys. I really enjoy your show and look forward to every week, every few weeks. But, yeah.
Sorry.
You touch on what I think would be an interesting topic this week.
Which one?
Am I not speaking to the mic?
You need to speak closer to the mic.
What are some reasons why most apocalyptic themes? You have a problem with this email?
Yeah. We thought you were reading the Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
I'm not reading that one right now.
Okay. No.
What are some? Reasons?
Start over. So I don't.
Hi guys, I really enjoy your show and look forward to every few weeks. You touch on what I think was be an interesting topic this week. What are some reasons why post-apocalyptic themes in movies, TVs, novels are so popular right now? Some examples, novel, The Road, TV show, Battlestar Galactica, novel, Pest House, novel slash movie, World War Z-Zombie Survival Guide, TV show, Jericho, movie, I Am Legend. Thanks for the good show, Bill.
Post-apocalyptic, why is that so hot right now? I think it's... People are always afraid of what they kind of imagine coming. And, like, robots are taking over the Earth right now? Not really the forefront of people's brains. I think it's more the concept of, you know...
Us doing ourselves in.
Doing ourselves in either through plague or mass warfare.
You know, we had that in the 80s.
Yeah.
Speaking of 80s
and
topics.
And that went away for a little bit.
Mad
in the
Max.
90s,
yeah.
I think we got a little more positive in the 90s.
I think sci-fi is a way of dealing with those demons and things that are happening in the world around us. And right now, the world is kind of a dangerous place, mm-hmm. you know, and it's sort of our way of handling it.
And sci-fi deals with hyper-realistic scenarios, and post-apocalyptic scenario is a great way to put modern man in a situation where he has none of his modern resources to deal with.
Yeah,
it turns up the volume on all sorts of topics.
Big time. Donnie.
Let's see. This is from Tristan, a.k.a. Little Spoons on the forums. Hey, geeks. This question is mainly aimed at Don. Uh-oh. Due to video game development stuff. But I'm interested to hear each of your thoughts, so I'm throwing it out to the geeks at large. Plus, Don always has been rather mysterious when talking about his job. Mwahaha. I expect he may be leading some kind of double life as a ninja. Yes.
Yes, he is.
I am stealthy.
He is a very...
He's
a ninja.
I am agile. So I'm not sure how much he'll be able to tell me. Anyway, here's my dilemma. I'm a fairly young, approaching the tail end of 16 geek and aspiring writer living in the UK. I left school when I was 13, partly because I was so bored and partly because my family are filthy liberals who let me leave official education to begin with. Interesting.
Okay.
Since then, I've mostly been reading, playing video games, and more recently writing lots and lots of fantasy. However, I realize that the chance of ever getting published is very low, and the chance of being able to glean a living purely from writing is even lower. Like 99% of teenage boys, I love video games and would love to think I could be a great game designer given the chance. More specifically, I'd like to be a video game writer, given that games are so close to a level where full-time writers would be a valuable addition to a development team. But even that would require, I'm guessing, a certain amount of game design knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, level design is looking really attractive. I've researched job in the game industry online, but I'm getting some mixed messages on which path to choose. High-level qualifications, self-education, or both. And the balance of importance between the two could easily change in the time it takes for me to achieve either. Very true. A few friends of mine have told me that when it comes to games, qualifications means nothing, and I should instead be working towards an impressive portfolio of material, which I think this is probably just wishful thinking on our part. So, I'm looking for some advice on what to do. Should I go back to school and chase qualifications, or teach myself a few essential skills and try to work my way up through a company? Or should I give up my geeky ambitions entirely and consign my life to a life of boredom, occasionally making involuntary lightsaber sound effects under my breath in an office complex somewhere?
That one.
Sorry for rambling, and thanks for reading. Keep up the great podcast. Episodes 66, 54, and 18 rocked verily.
What about 43?
Not 40. We will never again speak of episode 43.
All right. Well, video games.
I wish I had better advice to give you. Right now, most of the people I know working in the gaming industry do not have an education in games. Most of the successful people I know come from either graphical arts, management, writing backgrounds, philosophy.
There was no education in games when...
At that time period, there wasn't.
Generally, are they college graduates?
Yes.
Okay.
I have never met anyone high up in the video game industry who was not a college graduate.
There's a first recommendation for you.
So I do recommend schooling, but here's the reason why. It's not necessarily because the content of college, but it's the proof that you can complete projects. It's the proof you can go through a rigorous program and come out the other side. And it's also proof that you have leadership capabilities. My recommendation would be to hone your skills and to, whatever skills you believe you bring to the table that will help you excel in the video game industry, while also trying to get a base foundation of work experience.
Yeah, I mean,
internship
qualifications. I mean, I keep hearing, qualifications don't count or whatever. The one of your qualifications is being talented in the thing that you want to do.
Yes.
So if you have a reel, I don't know how you're going to get a reel together if you don't have anything to show talent wise. So obviously go to school because you need that to move up.
Yeah. Something.
But
to give you an idea of how it worked for me, I come from a writing background. I have a strong writing skill that I bring to the table as a producer and as a game designer. But that doesn't matter much. What got me my job designing games now was my 2 years working in quality assurance.
Putting in gut time.
Putting in ridiculous hours for ridiculously low amounts of money. Being ashamed of my yearly income for those 2 years. There is no glory in working in QA, but I shouldn't say that. I mean, QA is becoming a more and more valuable asset as time goes on.
But it's a way to get into the biz.
It's a way to meet people. It's a way to start proving that you've got what it takes. And for me, I was able to provide input on games, provide level design hints, and work with certain teams at some development houses. That gave me an in to where I ended up.
And you're obviously well-spoken, this to our listener. He's obviously well-spoken and can write, so,
writers have a certain advantage. I think this is why writers do well in the video game industry, in that writers tend to have more of an empathic interest in other people than a lot of other video gamers sometimes do. I say hone your people skills. I say hone your management skills. And then be willing to, roll up your sleeves and
do some serious
crap work first.
Yeah.
I would also,
nobody lands a game design job fresh out of the gate.
Yeah.
And what? Yeah. Start doing some game design. I mean, if anything, you can go and down and do mods. People have made careers out of sitting there in their basement and getting Quake and modding an awesome mod and then showing to somebody saying, wow, you could totally work for us.
This is true.
I mean, there's no reason why you can't start now.
Yep.
Even if you're not in college yet. Start now. Go to college. Keep working on your skills and,
Yep.
But, I think all four of us will agree, if you have to do something that you can respect.
Yep.
You have to do something if you can't enjoy it all the time,
why
something
do it?
That you have you find value in, I think that's the most important thing.
Work smarter, not harder, but when you but you got to find something that you like because that's the thing that you're going to work harder in.
Absolutely.
I've kind of taken this, which is the first question I have for you is how hard are you willing to work for what you want?
Right.
Okay. If you're willing to kill yourself for what you want to get.
Figuratively speaking.
Well, figuratively speaking, then you should definitely go for it. If you don't want to work that hard, if you know yourself, you're not someone who's going to, be able to go out and work for 4 or 5 years for nothing, in order to get yourself to be what you want to be.
Yeah, 12 hours a day for minimum pay.
Minimum wage or no pay. Then you shouldn't
for
do
a
it.
Chance at rising up the ranks.
Right.
Because if you say that you are afraid that you won't be able to make it as a writer of fantasy, you know, I got to tell you, I don't think that the video game industry is that much easier.
No.
If it's easier at all.
Especially because right now you'll be competing against people who are graduating from game design colleges.
Yeah.
You know, right now there are people entering the workforce who are focusing on writing for games. You know?
I would also suggest, you know, don't worry about, I mean, if writing is your art, make sure you also keep that in mind and don't turn it too, I hear the opposite of this all the time. Don't turn it too much in a business sense in your mind. I'm not saying you should hone your business skills when it comes to your art, especially if you want to make money. Mm-hmm. But make sure that you remember all the time that this is something you love to do and start writing. Just because someone doesn't, you can self-publish yourself right now.
Yep.
You can get books made per print, and you never know. There are people who are making okay money printing books themselves and getting internet, you know, buzz on it.
I just want to throw out, actually, one of my links this week is Spiderweb Software. Okay, and this is a guy. He and his wife make games out of his house, and he makes a series called Avernum. And basically, the way I found this guy is. I was searching for, you know, great games on the Mac, and he was in a list of the top 10 games you could get on the Mac. So there's ways of doing things. You just have to be passionate.
Let me give you one last piece of advice. I usually give this to artists, but I think I'm going to start giving it out to writers too. You need to know your own style too. Being flexible and being able to write in a whole bunch of styles is very important, but you need to know what your strength is and trying to accentuate it and bring it out to the people that you hope will hire you. Like, for instance, right now I keep going back to the well to a couple writers who have a very specific style that's good for the games I work on. I know their style. I use them, you know? So
excellent.
Just know your strength and play it as best you can.
Hey, geeks. I've been listening to your show for over a year now, and I still can't get enough. I've listened to every single episode in your archives, and I've been wondering something. What happened to episodes 1, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9? Have they been kidnapped?
Dun, dun, dun.
Come on, guys. I mean, cough them up. It would be great if you would put these on your site. At least explain why I'm left feeling cheated. It's almost like I started watching Lost when Sawyer killed his first polar bear. I need to know what's happening at the beginning of your series, too. Anyway, thanks for all the great fun you provided over the years. I know I speak for all the others when I say you have helped me get in touch with my inner geek and gave me the courage to come out of my geek closet.
Everyone's got to touch their inner geek every once in a while.
Here's the deal. We have those. We've been holding on to them.
We do have them?
Don't you?
Well, I have an archive of the old, like, edit stuff somewhere, but the output, I don't know where the output is. Like, is it on our site somewhere?
No, blame Aaron. I blame Aaron.
Maybe we don't. I may have them.
I have archived everything. Trust me. I have them all, but we'd have to re-edit or something. I don't know.
Anyway, I can re-edit anything.
I believe we have them, but I was under the impression we were holding on to them for a rainy day.
Yeah.
When we, you know.
Well, here's the other
Which
thing.
Which is ironic, because we've had a few rainy days over the past couple months.
I'm not sure where the number. You numbered everything. So I'm not sure how you knew that those things were missing.
When we first started, I started numbering them right away when we put the website up. So
our archives are numbered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our archives are numbered. Okay, yeah. Whatever. I'm
Aaron's baffled.
I'm baffled where how you knew those episodes, because I don't know what dates those were or how those episodes.
Because I looked at all the episodes we'd done, and
Peter knows all.
Peter does know all. All right. So the bit defining female video game characters according to classical Greek goddesses was really cool. I don't suppose you guys wrote that down anywhere. I'd like to show it to some of my friends, but not all of them are into webcasts, and I don't think I could convince them to listen to the whole show, which is a shame since it's great. Anyway, keep up the good work, guys, and keep your geek hand strong. I don't know
but
what that means.
They don't have 2 hours a week to blow?
Yeah, what's with that?
Us rambling?
I don't think I wrote them down. I remember them. I can reiterate for them for you, but I'm sure you can just replay the episode too. Sorry, you're gonna have to get your own stenographer.
Yeah, well,
sorry.
Well, we're not like Oprah where you can write in and
we don't have transcripts of the show.
By the way, just to backtrack a second, Aaron, I think I got the numbers from you. I think you started the website.
Drop the numbers. I didn't number shit. I have dates on everything. All right. Anyway. Hey, fellas, just wanted to thank you guys for the show. Looking forward to your views on the new fall shows. However, I would like to request a minimum of political content on the podcast. Saying sicko is 99% accurate takes a bit of credibility out of the show. And your listeners probably don't care about the Nobel Prize and what it, and want to stay out of that controversy. Thanks, Eric.
Our listeners don't care about the who won the Nobel Prize?
Okay, first of all, the fact that you're – I think he's right, quite frankly. No, we do it too much. I completely agree, 100%.
Well, no, we do get into – we all know we get into politics too much. But still, you know, our listeners care who won the Nobel Prize.
But the second thing is, guess what? The Nobel Prize shouldn't have anything to do with us being liberal, or that is on somebody else. Mm-hmm. Just because somebody you don't like got nominated for the Nobel Prize and won or whatever, that's not a political thing, or it shouldn't be. So anyway, that's a separate thing.
And, you know, let's face it. You know, we're four guys in Los Angeles talking about our interests on geeky issues. You know what? You know, science fiction is political.
Yeah,
Science fiction is frequently political.
Yeah, but we bring it up all the time when it has nothing to do with geeky anything.
Really, what percentage of the time do we – I mean, we bring it up
every episode.
For a few minutes at most.
Well,
every
still, people don't want to hear that shit.
We don't bring it up at
trust.
Every
yes, every
– I'm pretty sure we do.
Yes, we do.
And it's usually on Matter Me.
Even bringing up the Fox thing, I mean, that example had nothing really to – I mean, you could – I mean, out of – all the things you could have said, you brought up, you ragged on Fox.
It's like
Fox not being fair.
No, I didn't say that they're not fair. I just said that they're biased. You know, the point is,
well, they're not balanced.
No, but I mean, look, you know, can you think of another example? I can't think of another example. I did try to think of another example. I can't think of another example of someone that does that. You know?
Of not being biased?
Of someone that pretends to be biased.
How about the Washington Post? Big lippy hippie liberal newspaper.
I don't read it.
I think making a reference to the Washington Post is
NPR
broad.
I would say NPR is a very liberal hippie.
I'd protest that.
All right. Anyway, we're doing it again. Eric, you son of a bitch! You got us talking.
It's your fault. People like you, Eric.
All right, we'll move on.
Don, why don't you do this one?
Sure. This is from Yossi. Hello, Yossi, in Jerusalem. Dear geeks, just thought you might like to know that Messiah comes from the Hebrew... Oh, God. I hate you, Matt.
I'm giving it to you.
I said it on time.
Just thought you might like to know that Messiah comes from the Hebrew Meshiach. Rhymes with the side of lock. Oh, Messiach. There you go. Which simply means anointed, Christos in Greek, or having spiced olive oil poured on your head.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So it's kind of like lamb.
In ancient Israel, both the religious leader, the high priest, and the political leader, the king, were anointed in this way, and any one of them could be called Messiah. The Messiah the Jews await is a direct descendant of King David, who will restore the monarchy, live a normal lifespan, and die, sort of like Aragorn without the elvish blood.
I like how he like makes it so
you,
we can
Yossi.
Understand.
I like how he brings it back to the geek.
Yossi, we love you.
I would go to your temple.
Geek love
Yossi.
Is coming to you. I'm sending it across the airwaves, well, across the internet waves.
Speaking of David, Don, you use Shlomo as the Yiddish for loser, but that's just the Hebrew name of King Solomon, David's son. You meant Shlemiel, who got speared for using a midnight prince for doing a midnight princess. It's a long story, number 25.
Midianite.
Midianite. the sad part is, I'm sure Midianite princess means a lot in the Bible, but all I'm thinking is Nightbreed. You know, he did the porcupine woman.
Oh, geeks.
Rock on, Yossi. Thank you, Yossi.
Yossi, you're
it's
great.
Good to hear. Like, we have a couple of like listeners who clarify our topics. They should have their own shows.
Smarty Librarian's another good one. Yeah.
They're constantly adding.
I'd love to have like a Yossi Doulos show. You know, that would be fun.
All right. Yeah. So here's a little serious one. Bring it down a little bit. Hey, guys. Hope you're all doing well. I've been listening to your show for about a year now, but I've only written in once before. Anyhow, I want you to know how much I appreciate your show. Thank you. My brother, a lifetime geek, all-around good guy, has been going through some tough times lately, and I'm concerned about how he's doing. I'm hoping you can help me with some ideas on how to help him out. First, I'll give you a little background information. I'm 25, structural engineer, live in Chicago. My older brother, Ben, is 33, restaurant shift manager, lives in Minnesota with my parents. We also have several other brothers and sisters. He's also been really into fantasy, science fiction, with favorites including Babylon 5, the All Trek series, etc. He's always been into strategy type computer games, though he's never been much of a console video game player at all. He loves role-playing card games, etc. Ben has gone through some tough times over the past few years. As he's gotten older, my brothers have mostly moved away from home, and he only seems to have a few friends. My mom tells me that he basically just goes to work, comes home, watches television, and very little else, and generally seems depressed. Although he has many geek interests, I don't think he really has anyone to share the experience with anymore. I believe this from a combination of our siblings moving away, as well as his few friends moving, or perhaps getting married. My mom says that he sort of has some social hang-ups, so it's a little tough for him to get out and about, but I think that's what I would like him to do. I feel he would benefit from meeting new friends with similar interests. Even better might be a girlfriend or a close companion, but who knows for sure. I hope you guys can help me out. Perhaps you know guys or girls who have gone through similar experiences. I'm definitely going to try and get him to listen to the podcast. I know he'll really enjoy hearing you guys, and it always makes me feel like I've got another group of friends out there, so I know he will too. Take care. Isaac Gates in Chicago.
You know, we get emails all the time from people. It's really interesting.
And really touching emails,
and
too.
Yeah, they're really – there's two types of emails we get. The first one is – the first email is, oh, my God, I'm a geek I never knew. You know? And those emails are actually pretty hysterical because they name the things that they like, and you kind of read them and you
didn't know you were geek.
How could you not know? The second one is, you know, I've been a geek and I just, you know – was never able to claim my geekdom. I was never able to feel comfortable. I was always, you know, sort of a little ashamed by it.
How dare
and
you.
Now I realize how cool it is, you know, and it's great.
It's awesome.
So, I mean, I think the first thing is, you know, for him to kind of recognize his, you know, be able to claim his geekdom. And once he's able to do that, the second thing is just to reach out a little further. Start looking around. Look for conventions. They happen everywhere.
Yeah.
They happen,
yeah.
You know, and find people with similar interests. You know, it's amazing to me. Half of these emails we get are from girls.
Yeah.
You know, so
they're out there and they're actually pretty good looking.
Conventions are a great place to go, but I would push you more towards like game conventions.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Because you sit down at a board game with people, you meet people.
And there are all sorts of social. They're not even necessarily conventions, but there are all sorts of gamer groups that are open to the public. They're all over. Game days, which are all over the United States. In every city.
Game stores that have throw events.
Exactly. Yeah. And they even have, like, on weekends, people just show up.
And if he's a role player, I would actually, you know, I'm the only person here that's going to make the suggestion. Go look for a LARP near you.
Wait, he wants to find a girl afterwards, though.
Lightning bolt. Lightning bolt.
You will meet people. And you know what? You'll get out in the woods, run around, have some fun if it's a fantasy one.
Lightning bolt.
Or you'll get to dress up as a goth and look sexy for a little while if it's a vampire one. Worst case scenario, you meet some other people who like to game and have similar interests.
Right, right.
My wife has found that that video of Lightning Bolt where he's throwing the beanbags.
I think Matt sent it to her.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Why did you do that?
I got to tell you, she's been sending it to all of her friends now. And they have they have little kvetch sessions.
Like, this is what Peter does.
No, it's not. But still.
I've never seen such a violent reaction to the concept of LARPing as your wife does.
Oh, my wife has got it pretty
hardcore. She's
it's bloody hilarious.
My wife is so accepting about everything, but she's let me know that if I ever do that, it's a game ender.
That's the
I think you should do it and come back like late at night and like make her think you had an affair or something like that, and then just like go, oh no, I just went to a LARP.
What?
You know,
you better have been out sleeping with somebody, you son of a bitch.
Speaking of conventions, my friend went to a convention recently called SantaCon. And what it is it is 350 people dressed like Santa. And what they do is they pick a place, they all meet there.
Yeah.
And then they
House of Pies.
Then they just walk and they go different places. This time they went to a MoCA,
a
Museum of Contemporary Art, who had no idea they were showing up. And suddenly they've got 350 people. He went as gangster Santa with like kind of like a red tracksuit, right? And the hat and a big bling, you know, necklace with a big dollar sign on it. But there's all sorts of – yeah. Anyway, apparently, it's a lot of fun.
That's another good example. I mean,
find a group.
You can find these things on the internet all the freaking time.
Yep.
Find a gaming group. Find a sci-fi group. Find a movie group.
Yeah.
Find any flash mob group.
Another place I'd suggest to go, honestly, are forums. A lot of people in our forums have moved. They've been in this experience where they found themselves in a new city.
Yep.
and you won't necessarily meet someone through the forums, but they can give you advice on how they met people when they moved.
If you go to BoardGameGeek.com, there is a section there where you can post where you live and post gaming. Our people will post where, like, open games that they're trying to get role players in. You can go there. Email them, and you can get in a game like Lickety-Split. Mm-hmm. And I know it takes a little – if you're kind of socially awkward, it's a little bit weird. But just remember that everybody probably who has contacted them are trying to find a group. They all want to meet you, no matter how strange you are. I mean, if they don't invite you back, fine. Just find another group.
Let's face it. I mean, all four of us prefer the stranger people.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we're not exactly normal ourselves.
Exactly.
I mean, you know.
I'm saying –
Yeah,
we just have that dose. That
you just
tiny
need to
little
find like two or three
droplet.
People that are like you. You know, have similar interests.
Yeah. It's all amazing right. how
we
it
should wrap this up. Any
things.
Other?
You got to hit your seven brides for seven brothers.
You want me to do this?
I do.
Okay. Well, first of all, this is for Aaron, Geek Aaron. This is Carrie, aka Seven Brides for Seven Brothers' wife. I was looking up some stuff for World of Warcraft and my character on that game, and somehow your website popped up. I thought, no way. Not the Aaron that I was in a musical with when I went to the website, and yep, it was you. So I thought I would send you a, quote, geek mail and say hello, long times see and no hear. It was odd to see your pick after all these years. I've moved to Twin Falls a year ago, anyway, she goes on, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to think.
Come on, Aaron. She's trying to contact you, man.
I know. I deleted the email by mistake. So now that I know you have it, I'm going to email her back. Anyway, yes, in high school, I was in the musical Seven Brides with Seven Brothers.
Would you like
and she
to
was
do
my
a little bit for us?
No,
come on now. I think you need
do
to
it.
Do a little.
That is, it's illegal. I don't want to break any copyright laws.
Come on now.
You can
do
a waffle.
You can do very small.
Just a little Seven Brides for
as long
seven
as we critique it afterwards,
just
it's legal.
A tiny bit.
You can do a
tiny, tiny bit.
Maybe, how about this? We'll finish up and I'll sing something. We'll
on the
go out. Yeah, we'll
okay.
go out.
Okay.
This is acceptable.
Excellent.
I don't even know if I can remember any of the words.
Come on now. All right, Donnie, hit it.
Let's see, from Leo Lohman. Greetings, geeks. I wanted to thank you for making an awesome podcast. I am from Germany and went to California once, waiting to meet a horde of nerds waiting for me, but I found none. That is why my praise comes with a question. Does the concentration of geeks differ from state to state? Funny also, geekness seems to be in my genes, since I started to act like a geek before I came into any contact with geek culture and found one of my favorite TV shows by thinking fire and fly would make a funny combination word while surfing on Google. Okay. Tip for your show. There's a thing called biofeedback with which you can control the concentration of acid in your stomach or how much you sweat on your fingertips. Good for cheating on lie detectors. Great, isn't it? Please go on until you die and never die. Leo Lohman. Wow.
just random thoughts in there.
Okay.
I would say yes. The concentration of geeks definitely does
differ from state to state.
But I think they tend to cluster to urban areas in general.
It's also very much,
Well,
LA,
no, I think you'd
New
be
York.
A geek out in the middle of nowhere. It's just hard to,
it's harder to find
crank it up.
It's hard to network with a geek community, though, so...
Yeah.
You know, and they tend to be more spread out. I mean, that's true of every group.
True that.
Yeah.
Okay. Kia Ora. I just wanted to say thanks for a great podcast. I discovered Geeks On at the start of the year and have since managed to listen to all the podcasts available on the site. We hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm a big movie fan and enjoy the interesting discussions you guys have and the window you guys provide into the industry. I really enjoy hearing about the screen script writing. Thanks also for putting another person, me, onto Battlestar Galactica. After listening to the show where you covered it, I was convinced I needed to check it out. I'm glad I did. You guys are right. It is truly a great sci-fi show.
We convinced Aaron. We've convinced this guy.
True. It's a long crusade. We're bringing everyone into the fold.
Yes.
I also enjoy the talks you guys have on comics and role-playing games. I never really played any tabletop role-playing games, but you guys, the talks you guys have had on the show definitely make me want to look into it. The last show regarding Comic-Con was fantastic, and I love the shows where Lisa is part of the panel, as do we.
Yes, we do.
Should be a permanent part of this.
But she's hard to get a hold of.
Yes.
She's working.
Yeah.
Anyway,
always.
I just wanted to say thanks for putting good content out there and for helping spread the word about good film, writing, sci-fi movies, books, gaming, RPGs, and everything else you guys fit into the show from New Zealand. Thanks, Tat.
Yay.
Nice. New Zealand listeners.
New Zealand in the house.
We got a lot of New Zealanders and Aussies. Kiwis and Aussies.
Yep. And to close, last one. Dearest of Geeks, I'm writing to thank you on behalf of the guy that sits on the other side of my cubicle. For if it weren't for you and your wonderful show, I'm afraid he would have been now force-choked and suffered the same fate as Captain Nita. You have provided a much-needed barrier to his annoying tendencies, and for his sake, he thanks you. On the same note, I continue to love your show, and I'm just waiting for the All About Song of Ice and Fire show, and maybe around the launch of A Dance with Dragons, if he ever freaking finishes it. No kidding. Keep doing what you do, protecting cubicle guys all over the world, and know that you have a faithful geek from, of all places, Kansas. Think Geek, Josh. P.S. Two t-shirts I would love to see from you guys. How dare you? And your geek is showing.
How dare
you?
Good shirts.
Those are good shirts.
That's a great. I like Don and Matt. I think that's
How about Geek Grenade?
Geek Grenade. Yeah, those three are great.
That's great. We should do it. So, Aaron, you know, we got
to. Yeah, we got to. Aaron, get on it in all your spare time.
It's a t-shirt no one will get.
We need another graphic. Yeah, but
no, your geek is showing is great.
Your geek is showing.
That's good. That's good.
Geek Grenade, they'd get. Yeah.
The other one, no one would get.
Yeah, they would.
How dare you?
Look out for the dare you.
And at geekson.com. Nobody would get it unless you listen to geekson.com.
It's like
a perfect t-shirt.
It's a Geekson thing.
Okay. All right, all right.
Okay, we're done with our news, right?
Yes.
We have no bit this time, correct?
Nope. No bit.
So let me just throw in a couple of links. Anybody else have any links?
I got one.
Okay. I will start off. I have found a site that I am in love with. I am so excited about this site. You will laugh when you find out why.
Oh, because
it perfectly fits you?
It perfectly fits me. It's www.lifehacker.com.
Okay.
It's lifehacker.com. And it is a site on basically getting yourself to be more efficient.
Oh.
Wow.
On getting more out of life, on doing things easier. I mean, it is an amazing site.
It covers topics like what? New?
It'll cover topics like, how to get more out of your day. You know, it'll cover topics like, one of the things they had was, how to fold a t-shirt in 4 seconds.
The ninja folding.
Yeah. It's kind of cool, actually. how to sleep better, it's just a basic efficiency site on how to basically tune yourself up.
Interesting.
To get the most out of your life.
I completed my last 8-hour day in 40 minutes. I did everything on the website. I did everything I did the day before in 40 minutes. It was awesome.
There you go. No, but it really...
Folding all my clothes.
It is like here, the top thing on it right now is your best study tips. You know, and it'll give you different study tips on how to, you know, get the most out of it. I mean, it's like, I when someone told me about it, I was like, I'm addicted. I'm totally addicted.
Pete's going to hack his life.
All right. You want to jump in?
My friend sent me a file, and it was very large, and they uploaded it to a site called megaupload.com, uh-huh. And I got to download it, and it was about 800 meg. And
free storage for how long?
Free storage, I believe, as long as you want.
Yeah. So that now file is going to live there forever?
Yeah.
Well, could. I mean, they might put an expiration date on it.
Yeah. Okay.
And it downloaded really quick. Downloaded
and it's
in about
free.
10, 15 minutes. Yeah. And it was 800 meg, like boom, boom, done.
Right.
And basically you can get a premier service, you can get it faster,
mm-hmm.
but you just do the normal service, you got to wait like a minute for it.
So it's like having your own FTP.
Yes.
Has anyone, by the way, been to Hulu to see their HD content?
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry. Peter, one more?
My last one is I mentioned it earlier in the show, but I want to hit it one more time. Spiderweb Software. And this is a guy who basically, he has three different series he puts out. One is called Avernum. One is called Gene Forge. Another one is called Nethergate Resurrection. Okay. And basically, this guy makes his own, you know, games that you download. He's an independent publisher software. His games are huge. I mean, they take a long time to finish. They've got great stories. They're a lot of fun. They're different worlds than things you've ever seen. Avernum, just to give you a sense of what it is, it's a role-playing game where basically you play it down in this underworld cave where they have sent for years, the empire up on the surface has sent all the sort of...
Hero Morlock.
You're kind of. I mean, but not. You know, but they've sent all the people that were like, you know, troublemakers, they put them down in these caves. You know, they've sent them down here. You know, so you're down here exploring this giant world with, you know, creatures and monsters and magic and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And it's a completely different kind of weird world. And it's kind of fun. I mean, you're walking around and everybody's pale and sickly. And, you know, it's like, it's unusual. It's a neat world. Gene Forge is one where you're a a person called a shaper,
mm-hmm.
and you can change your genetics that allow you to create creatures.
Oh, that's fun.
You know, you have magic. Mm-hmm. You can create other creatures that will then fight for you. You can create your own little mini armies. It's really kind of neat.
Hmm.
So he's inventive, and I found him from a top 10 list. You know,
really cool,
unusual. Awesome, great. We'll have it on the website, both of them.
And you play him on a Mac?
Mac or PC?
Nice,
great. Awesome.
And free demos if you want to try it just to see if you like it.
Great.
I love demos. Even better. Free demos. Burnout Paradise. Awesome.
Did you really like it?
Yeah. It's fun.
All right, Aaron, you got to play us out with some Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
All right, are we done?
Yeah, we are. We're at. I think that's another Geeks On
now,
episode.
For your listening pleasure, Mr. Aaron Hendrickson with a song.
Let me tell you about them sobbing women who lived in the Roman days. It seemed when they all went swimming that their men were all to something. A Roman troop was riding by and saw them in their me oh my. And they took them all back home to dry. At least that's what something I can't remember anymore. Anyway,
we got to critique it just so we can make it legal.
That was pretty good.
That was good.
I liked it. I enjoyed that.
All right, good.
It was genius. We're a heartbreaking genius.
All right, bye, everybody.
Rock it out.